today is our church's 50-year birthday, and man, I tell you, 1965, 50 years ago this month, our church was started, and one decision was made by one man, John Strutz, to start this church. 1965, how many of you remember that year? I remember it well. It was a great year. Actually, I wasn't even conceived yet, was I? Lyndon B. Johnson was president, and the first U.S. troops arrived in Vietnam that year. Dodgers won the World Series. The Sound of Music premiered that year and was a huge hit. Gas was 31 cents a gallon. And the average income per year in the United States for a person was $6,450. Women's skirts got shorter and men's hair got longer that year. The average cost of a house, how would you like to buy one for this price today? $13,600. A loaf of bread was 21 cents. And a lot of you in here thought that was ridiculous, right? For a loaf of bread, 21 cents. Winston Churchill died that year, but an incredible person was born. The most amazing person I've ever met was born that year, 1965. A lady by the name of Denise Webster, later known as Denise Proctor. And, you know, it's just interesting that there was another thing that happened that year that didn't make the headlines, wasn't a real big event, nobody thought, and that is this church was planted that year. The decision was made to try and plant a brand new church in the Daytona Beach area. The man that made that decision, you'll see in your brochure that we gave you there, was John Strutz. There's a picture of him there as a young man, as he was when he planted the church. He was 28 years old, and he decided that Daytona Beach area needed a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church. I'm sure that nobody in Daytona Beach at that time, nor even Pastor Strutz himself, realized the incredible effect of that one decision. Thousands of people have been affected by Brother Strutz's decision that year in 1965, including, I think most of us in here today would have to say that we have been impacted by Brother Strutz's decision to plant this church. I'm hoping that generations of people after us will be impacted by that one decision also. In 2002, how many of you were here at the church in 2002? Raise your hand if you were here. How many of you were not at the church in 2002? All right, yeah, a lot of you. In 2002, I was able to locate and find John Strutz. He had never been back to the church. It had been 37 years since he planted it. He was only here about a couple years, 2.5 years, and then left. He moved to Texas and never knew what became of this church. Nobody had ever asked him back, and of course, back then you didn't have internet and all that. He had no clue what had happened to the church, no clue whatsoever. Through some of his family, I was able to locate and find him, and I was able to convince him to come back and for us to have a day to honor him as our founding pastor. What a precious man. He had Parkinson's and his health was not that great, but he agreed to come. He and his wife, his granddaughter, they came, and we honored him that whole day. And I want to play just a brief little, about a 4-minute clip for you from the day that we honored him, and he was able to come to the platform and share a testimony with us about starting this church 50 years ago. Many of you didn't hear this in 2002, and so I want you to hear it. I was sitting in front of my TV, my wife could tell you last night, and I hadn't seen this in years, and I was watching it, and I had just tears coming down my face as I was thinking about this man when he was 28 making that decision to start this church. And I thought I'd just play you that clip. Is that all right if I do that this morning, church? Amen. Would y'all like to see that? I want you to watch it. We had honored him all day long. You can go ahead and dim the lights. We had honored him all day long that day. We had just loved all over the guy. And that night when he came up to the platform, you may not be able to make out what he says, the very first thing, but it was hilarious. It brought the house down. The very first words out of his mouth were, "We'd like to submit ourselves for membership in this church." And so let's go ahead and roll the tape, all right?
And you can share with us whatever God has laid on your heart. Tonight, stand to your feet if you agree with that. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. You are a member now.
When Brother Dan finally located me, I had no idea what was in store. I had no idea what had happened to the Daytona Beach Baptist Church. But after his invitation to come and somewhat persistence, I reluctantly agreed to come and share with you our testimony. And so we came, as you see. And I honestly can say that I haven't experienced a church fellowship such as I have today in a long, long time. In Austin, Texas, I don't think they even go to church on Sunday night. I haven't found a church that goes and holds services on Sunday night. But truly God has blessed this church, and when I say church, I mean the congregation, the people, the nucleus that make up the Daytona Beach Baptist Church. God has sorely blessed you, and we take no credit. Everything that's been done on, I know, your half and ours has been to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look for his coming, and what a fellowship that's going to be when we meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
When we were organizing and working and building the original part of the Daytona Beach Baptist Church, there were a couple of scriptures that were always present in our heart and in our mind. And lest my thoughts fail me, I'll read to you. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And that carried us a long way, because we were convinced that it was God's will, and that God was going to bless us, and had so abundantly blessed us. The other verse of scripture is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And regardless of your position in life, and what position you may hold, if God's in it, it's going to succeed. And we can do all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been mightily blessed this weekend, being in the presence of this church and this pastor, we have been mighty blessed. We thank you from the bottom of our heart for all that you've done. And if we do not have an occasion like this again on this earth, we will one day. And so we look to see you, if not on this earth, in heaven one day. Thank you.
Isn't that awesome, church? Whew, wow. Such a wonderful, humble man. I don't know if you caught what he said. He said, We take no credit. But you know what? He did make the decision to start this church. And somebody had to make that decision. Somebody had to make that choice. And you know, as we live life, I'm afraid that we seldom stop to realize how our decisions have a profound impact, not only on us, but on others for generations to come. As we stop and we consider our 50-year anniversary here at Crossroads, I thought it would be a really good time to remind us all of the impact of our daily decision-making and how it affects so many other lives. You know, I think back to Adam and Eve. I hope you're in Romans chapter 5, but I don't know if I told you that or not, to go to Romans chapter 5. But, you know, I think about Adam and Eve. And, you know, when they were in the Garden of Eden, it really was not a huge decision. They simply chose to eat a little fruit. But, oh, the impact of that one decision. Adam and Eve were created innocent. They were one step away from either becoming righteous or becoming sinners. And their decision that they made when they were tempted, that decision to disobey, to rebel against God's commandment, that decision that they made, they became sinners, death came upon them, separation from God was the result. And the result, though, of their decision did not just affect them. Look at Romans 5 and look at verse number 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon," who, church? "All men, for that all have sinned." They became sinners, and they passed on that sin to their children, and their children passed it on to their children, and so on, generation after generation. And that's why we're all sinners today, because of a choice, one seemingly small decision there in the garden when they said, "You know what? God said don't eat it, but it can't be all that bad. We're going to go ahead. We know best, and we're going to do it anyway." And they violated God's commands. And now the Bible says we're all dead in trespasses and sins. We're sinners. We're in enmity with God. We're by nature the children of wrath. All of us are in desperate need of deliverance from our sinful condition if we're to have any hope of eternal life in heaven with God. Small decision, big consequences. Small decision, big consequences. When the second pastor came, Dennis Wheeler, to this church, and he took over from Brother Strutz, there was immediate division, there was strife, there was contention, there were people trying to seize control of the church while it was still in its infancy stage. Dennis Wheeler made a choice that, because he had pastored 10 years in Miami, he was an experienced pastor. He made a decision he would not run. He would not leave. He wasn't going to just leave the church on its own. He would stay and try to see this through and protect the church. One small decision, big consequences. It led to a historic vote of 15-13 in favor of supporting Brother Wheeler's ministry. And the ones that were causing the contention left. And the church was able to grow again. And then Pastor Wheeler went on and spent 20 years in another pastorate. 10 years at one, 20 years at another, and wedged in between, he was right here at this church, standing in the gap so that we could be here today. One decision, Small decision, big consequences. You know, I think about another example of a choice, a decision with far-reaching consequences, not only Adam and Eve, but I guess on a positive side, we could look at Jesus Christ. Look at this verse on the screen in Galatians 4, 4 and 5. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Jesus Christ came into the world there in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect, holy life. The Bible says He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And yet, at the end of His life, in 33 years later, Jesus was faced with a decision. And it was a decision. It was not just something that we take lightly here. He was faced with a decision. In Matthew 27, when they are ripping His beard out, putting a crown of thorns on His head, they're spitting on Him, they're mocking Him, they're jeering and saying, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross, save yourself. If you can save others, you ought to be able to save yourself. Come on down. And they're mocking Him and jeering and spitting on Him, taking His flesh and nailing it to a cross. He had a choice to make. There was another viable option. He mentioned it the chapter before that. I think I have it on PowerPoint. I want to bring it up. And notice, He says here to them, He says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He had a choice, either to go all the way to the cross for you and I, or to call 12 legions of angels to deliver Him. And I want you to know something, folks. It was not something that He was forced to do. He said in John chapter 10, He said, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down of myself. It was a choice. It was a decision He made that He would choose to die on the cross for your sin. He would choose to pay sin's price for you and I. What was the impact of that one decision? Romans 5, you're there. Look at verse 17. Can I show you the impact of one decision? Look at Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. One decision, Adam, death reigned over all of us. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, He made a right choice, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, he made one bad choice, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one choice, shall many be made righteous. We receive all of this gift of righteousness by receiving Jesus Christ into our heart and life as our Lord and our Savior. Look at Romans 5, verse number 1, and notice, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, for the last 2,000 years, multitudes of men and women have been having their lives and their eternal destiny radically changed by the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. Oh, the incredible effect of Jesus Christ. One decision to die for our sins. And of course, now the decision is ours whether to accept this Savior or to reject Him. And the effect of that one decision you make will be eternal. It will either mean eternal life or in heaven or eternal death, separated from God forever in a place that the Bible calls the lake of fire. That's your choice, though. No, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People make that choice. You choose to either accept God's way out, you accept the Savior, Jesus Christ, we just read it, you're justified by faith. Nobody can exercise faith for you except you. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you are justified, and you're at peace with God. You make a choice to reject Him, and you have rejected your only hope of peace with God. Go to Acts, the book right before Romans, Acts 26. We're talking about the impact here of our decision making. And many times one choice can make such an impact in your life. Do not underestimate the effect of the choices you're making. Teenagers, you're out on that date. Don't underestimate the impact of your choices. Hey, college students, you're away from home. You say, nobody will see me. Mom and dad aren't here. Pastor's not here. Nobody's here. I'm off at college. Never underestimate the impact of the choices that you're making. Never underestimate. Your choices have long-range consequences. I want you to look with me in Acts 26 and notice verse 16. Jesus tells the apostle Paul, he says, rise, stand on thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. Now, here's the key right here. Paul believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, makes a choice. He's going to believe on Christ there on the road to Damascus. And Paul's life was instantly, radically changed. He went from being an enemy of Christ to being a servant of Jesus Christ. God had some very clear instructions for Paul when he got saved. He said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to send you to the Gentile nations, and you are going to preach the gospel that I'm going to give you, and you're going to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and you're going to share with them the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And Paul was to take that good news that had been revealed to him, take it out to the Gentile nations so that they could have an opportunity to believe on Christ, to receive eternal life. The key to this thing, though, is verse 19. Look at it. Verse 19. He says there, whereunto, O King Agrippa, he's speaking to the king here, giving his testimony, I was not, and what's the next word? Disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Hey, Paul got saved, believed on Christ. God said, I got a work for you to do. Here's what it is. Did Paul have to do it? Yes or no? He made a choice. I was not disobedient to what God told me to do. I was not disobedient to what Christ told me to do. You know what? We better be real thankful he wasn't disobedient. Because Paul goes out, leads thousands of people to Christ, plants churches all over the place, takes the gospel to the Gentiles, and then the message of Jesus Christ goes from Paul to Timothy. He said, then you're going to teach faithful men, they're going to teach others, and it will be generation after generation that the gospel will go forth. And it did just that. The gospel went from Jesus to Paul. He said, I'm not going to be disobedient. I want to do what God told me to do. And he goes out and he begins to proclaim the gospel. Multitudes of Gentiles get saved, and the gospel goes out until finally it came to you and I. What a debt of gratitude we owe to the Apostle Paul for not being disobedient to the heavenly vision. When we make a decision to share Christ with somebody, we just never know the incredible effect of that one decision. That one decision. I'm going to share Christ with my brother. I'm going to share Christ with my roommate in college. I'm going to share Christ with that guy I go to school with. I'm going to share Christ with that guy on the ball team. I'm going to share Christ with that girl that I talk to all the time in that restaurant that's a waitress. I'm going to share Christ with my sister, my grandma. I'm going to share Christ with my cousin. I'm going to share Christ with my aunt. I'm going to share Christ with... Hey, you never know what's going to happen. You know, if I was to say the name Edward Kimball to you, most of you would be like, Edward Kimball, who's that? How many of you have ever heard of D.L. Moody? Raise your hand if you've heard of D.L. Moody. Hands all over the auditorium. He was a famous evangelist, pastor. He literally shook two continents for Jesus Christ, leading thousands and thousands of people to Jesus Christ. One of the most famous preachers that of that era that just shook two continents for Christ. What you don't know is the guy who led him to Christ, Edward Kimball. D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman. He was a shoe clerk. Edward Kimball had known D.L. Moody for a while, and he made a decision. He said, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to go into that shoe store. I'm going to find Dwight Moody, and I'm going to share Christ with him today. Dwight Moody was back in the stocking room, and he was stocking the shoes and putting them up on the shelves. And Edward Kimball went back, and he confronted D.L. Moody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, you need to make a decision for Christ today. D.L. Moody made that decision. You never know what's going to happen when you decide to share Christ with somebody. When Pastor Strutz came that day in 2002, I told our people at that time, some of you were here, I said, I want you to prepare a card for Brother Strutz, and I want you to tell Brother Strutz what the church has meant to you, because he started it. And I want you to let him know the impact that his decision has made on you to start this church. Tell him what the church has, how it's impacted you. Maybe you got saved here. Maybe you've grown to understand the Bible here. Maybe you've made friends here that are like brothers and sisters to you. I don't know what it is, but think about that. I remember that day Sonny O'Neill got up. He's usually in the 11 o'clock service. I don't think he's in here, is he? But Sonny O'Neill got up and shared a testimony that day that this church literally saved his life, because this is the place where he met a guy that ended up giving him a kidney that saved Sonny's life. Brother Strutz's wife told me later on, she said, you'll never know what this meant to him. She said he sat on the couch all afternoon reading those cards, weeping. And he just kept saying, I never knew. I never knew. I never knew. I never knew. He never knew the impact of that one seemingly insignificant decision he made with just 2.5 years of his life to start this church. And he sat there and wept, saying, I never knew. And he didn't. He never knew what became of it. You know, I couldn't help but think, what if we had not been able to locate him, or what if he'd have died? Boy, he sure would have got a surprise in heaven, wouldn't he have? He'd have got the shock of his life, wouldn't he? You mean that church? That little old church? Little did he know the impact that it would have on lives. Christian, never underestimate the importance of the decisions that you're making every day in life. There were times in the history of this church, like I told you, when this thing could have been blown apart. And there was literally a time period in the 70s when they were going to padlock the doors because of financial issues. And people stepped up to the plate and paid the price so this church could continue. In 1994, I became the pastor of this church. I was 27 years old. And do you know what? I got in by one vote. One vote. And had one person made a choice that voted for me, had one person made a choice, you know, I don't feel like going back up there tonight. You know, it'll all work out. You know, if it's meant to be. Can't stand it when people say that. That's just, in other words, that's the way of just throwing it off your lap and saying, here, God, it's your problem, not mine. You know, that's just a nice little way to say, okay, God, if this doesn't work out, it's his fault, you know. No, they said, you know what? No, our actions do matter. Our choices do matter. We're going to go up there and vote tonight. Had one person decided not to, you wouldn't be looking at my face right now. And I thought, you know, I wouldn't be able to probably see my son ordained next Sunday night. Which means Clint wouldn't have met Kendall, which means I wouldn't have the most beautiful baby in the world as my grandchild. I thought, you know, honestly, at 23 years old, I almost went and started a church up in the New England area. And really last minute thought, you know what, I probably need some experience first. I guess I'll stay in Florida a couple more years. And I'll get a little experience before I go start a church. I'm still in Florida. One little I look a little different, but I'm still here, amen? In case you didn't notice. That picture of Denise and I would have been right about the time period that we came here. That's pre-Clint. And that would have been... Before we even had Clint when we first came down. But, you know, I was looking through here and I thought, I am so glad that we were able to bring Brother Strutz back and let him know the impact of his. By the way, he's in heaven now. Some of you may wonder, he is in heaven. He died a few years after we honored him. He was able to come back the next year because we honored all the former pastors. Isn't it interesting that the church had three pastors in the first 6 years and then three pastors in the next 44 years? I don't know if you caught that. They had three pastors in the first 6 years and then three pastors the next 44 years. Six and 44 is 50. See how I figured that out? That's pretty interesting. Honestly, for a 50-year-old church, it's not that many pastors, is it? Six pastors in 50 years. Let me tell you something, folks. God has been good to this church. It's been so good. The impact of one decision. Young people, listen to me. Never underestimate the impact of your decision-making. Don't ever underestimate that. Middle-aged... Seniors, would you agree with me? Our decisions matter too. Amen.